We're talking budget. The budget landed last week and a new parental scheme was proposed. $2.1 billion for women's safety and over $10 billion for early childhood education. However, is it enough? Some are saying with the increasing cost of living pressures, these investments don't actually support gender equality in the home and they don't support it enough to help with gender equality in the workplace. Well, to discuss all this, we're joined by Elizabeth Hill. Now, Elizabeth is a political economist and deputy director of the Gender Equality in Working Life Research Initiative at UCID. Good morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
Good morning, Willie. I'm well, thanks.
One of the major changes in the budget was the combination of two parental schemes into one. In what ways do you think this is beneficial to gender equality at home?
Well, it's an interesting change. There's a couple of advantages to the way the government has reorganised the parental leave scheme. Australia only got a national parental leave scheme in 2010. So we're past the 10-year mark and the scheme was designed always to be improved. So I guess what they've put on the table at the budget is a couple of improvements, but one big, but includes one negative. So the improvements are that there's now the full 20 weeks is available to all parents, whether you're male or female, no matter what your family type. And importantly, it's available for single parents as well as parents who are in a couple household. Whereas prior to this change, mind you, it won't come in for another year, but prior to this change, the scheme was organised around the notion of a primary carer and a secondary carer. And the primary carer had access to 18 weeks paid parental leave at the national minimum wage, and the dad or the partner had access to only 2 weeks. So they've bundled all that together to 20 weeks. It means single parents have the same access as parents in couples. And you can also use it in a fully flexible way. So you don't have to just take the full 20 weeks distributed whichever way you like in a row. You can take, you know, an intensive period of, you know, 8 weeks, and then you could have 1 day a week or 2 days a week over time. And the point is that it's all got to be used within the first 2 years of the child's life. So those things do reflect the research evidence about making the best parental leave schemes are gender equal and they're able to be used flexibly. But the negative thing in the government's proposed change is the removal of what is currently called the dad and partner pay. So this is the 2 weeks that's designated for a dad or a partner. Now, the current scheme only provides 2 weeks at the national minimum wage, and that's neither long enough nor paid at an appropriate rate. So men, in particular fathers, weren't taking it up in great numbers. Administratively, it was very difficult. It was only a very short period of time. And who can afford to take leave at the minimum wage if your current wage is higher than that? And I think that the interesting thing there is that women are kind of used to taking low-paid or unpaid leave to care. I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do. It's absolutely not the right thing to do. But, you know, men are just kind of saying no. And I think particularly in the current context where we've got all these cost of living pressures, that's even more unlikely. But so the design of the our current system is good, except that it's not long enough and paid at the appropriate rate, nor does it have super. But by the government taking that piece away, we've really gone backwards in terms of our design. So what we know from the research evidence globally, that the best systems are not only gender equal, but they provide a portion for each parent and a portion to be shared equally. And what we see, say, in countries like Iceland, which has a model of 3 months for the birthing parent, 3 months for the other parent, and 3 months to be shared in whatever way you like, you actually drive real change in the division of labour between men and women in the home and in the workforce, and that change actually lasts over time and kind of gets embedded within the kind of practice of that household. So while we weren't quite at the level we needed to be, undoing that architecture is a really negative thing.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you don't get two lots of 20 weeks.
No. That's to be shared.
Right.
Between parents. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Bummer. Right. Okay.
Real bummer. And we should be. But, you know, that would get us close to the kind of the right length of time that should, you know, how do you share 20 weeks? If you're a birthing parent, you know, World Health Organization says, you know, around 26 weeks for the birthing parent to recover, you know, have a bit of a break, establish breastfeeding if that's what you want to do and just kind of get your head together. You know, 20 weeks, if you're a birthing parent, you need most of that just to get going, you know, and get kind of reorganized.
Oh, my God, particularly if you've had a C-section, right?
Like exactly.
You're going nowhere in 20 weeks.
Exactly. So we need it to be longer. It needs to be much longer.
Yeah, right. Yes, absolutely. Now, what about childcare? Although we saw a record spend of $10.3 billion in the budget, is this adequate against the rising cost of living pressures?
Yeah, so absolutely no. The one thing that Australian women say is the key obstacle to increasing the number of hours they work, the number of days they work, or the type of job they do, i.e. one that is commensurate with their skills, the big barrier to improving their participation in those ways is the cost of childcare. So the funds, the budget amount that has been going into childcare subsidy year by year has been going up, but we are still have one of the most expensive out-of-pocket early childhood education and care systems in the world. This is, we've been ranked by the OECD as one of the most expensive, and UNICEF, we come very low down their ranking of countries. So this is something that is a really important issue that needs to change, and all the research Australia-wide, globally, points to the need for a universal, free or much more affordable system of early childhood education and care. And if we did that, we'd see significant improvements in women's workforce participation, and we would also see a shift in gender equality in both paid and unpaid work.
Oh my God, Elizabeth, one last question before I let you go. As an expert in your eyes, if you could wave a magic wand and be responsible for one policy change, what would you do?
Oh, no doubt about it. Universal early childhood education and care, that is the low-hanging fruit. It would promote productivity, economic growth, gender equality. It is a no-brainer. It is a key piece of economic reform for a 21st century economy and labour market. And it's the pressure is building. The consensus across business, industry and parent groups, practitioners, researchers is there. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Elizabeth Hill, I could talk to you all morning. I've got so many more questions, but then I would be fired. So
no worries.
I better go. But thank you so much for all of that insight. Greatly appreciated.
Pleasure, Willie. See you. Have a good day.